19, the family of God. We are one in the bond of love, and we are all the family of God. It's good to have Glenn's mom and dad here with us, and I'm going to ask you, if you don't mind, if you lead us in a word of prayer, please.
Our most kind and gracious Heavenly Father, Lord, we want to thank you for this day and the opportunity to come to your houses today. Father, we ask you, Lord, to be with us as we go through this service. We ask that your spirit come to dwell among your people, dear Father. Yes. Everything to be said and done today will be for your honor and your glory, dear Father. We ask your Father that stand behind the one who brings a message this morning, dear Lord. Give him the bread that he needs to dine upon, and have us, dear Father, to have open ears, open eyes, open hearts to the things that are said and done. That's the things that I most precious name.
Amen. Y'all can be seated. Look to page 337. Nothing but the blood. What can wash away my sins?
Nothing but the blood of Jesus.
Hey, man, good singing.
Yeah.
Great singing, great singing. It's good to be here this morning. Y'all glad to be here this morning?
Amen.
If you have a word of testimony, by all means, you know, just follow, we're going to follow the Holy Spirit this morning, but if the Lord lays something on your heart, by all means, let's mind the Lord this morning. Let's look at another song right here. Sister Linda mentioned this song right here, Be My Vision. Let's see, what is that? Be Thy Vision?
Be Thou My Vision.
Be Thou. Yeah. Let's see there. Page 562. 562. And I can hear Bo singing this song right now.
Yeah.
Song that is, but let's look at another right here.
Mike,
yes, ma'am.
673.
Yeah, look at page 673. 673. And we're gonna do this in acapella. Hang on, let me get right here. Get my right page here. 673. Must Jesus bear the cross alone? Here we go.
Must Jesus bear
Yeah.
I can get your heart stirred up, won't it, Brother Bob?
Yes, sir.
That'd get your heart stirred up. What a great, thank you so much for that. Does anybody have a word, a testimony you'd like to share?
Well, Wayne, I appreciate everything that was said and done in Sunday school today. Those of you that missed, I wish you could have been here. You just missed it. The comments that Brother Mark made and the songs we've been singing, they just go hand in hand. The comments that were made, the good teaching in the Sunday school, the lesson, the world and everything associated with it tries to make this complicated. But Christ makes it so easy. I'm so thankful that the Lord thought of me.
Yes.
He thought of me when he pinned those words down. Brother, I know people that are a lot smarter than I am. They use big words to describe things that go on in the scripture and in theology and stuff. Brother, I never understood those. What I knew was the day that the Lord pricked my heart, I knew that I was lost and I was headed for hell. All I needed to do was to throw my life at the mercy of the Lord
sure.
Jesus Christ. And man, Sister Marilyn, it worked.
Amen.
He saved me. That, it's not hard. It's rather simple. The hard part's trying to figure it out on our own.
That's right.
It is. There may be somebody today that's trying to figure it out. If you are, just listen to the Lord Jesus. I heard him in the singing. I couldn't help but overflow with the love and the joy and knowing that hell isn't my home. It wasn't made for me, and I'll never see it. And
that's
I'm
right.
thankful for that today.
Amen.
I'll pray for us when you pray.
Amen. Thank you, Brother Bob.
Amen.
Amen. You know, there's a song. I want Pam to come up, and I want Kristen. Can y'all sing this song again?
Yes, Lord.
I think this song would be perfect for them to sing. The one y'all was singing earlier.
You know that song.
Yeah.
This song y'all was practicing.
That song.
Oh, well, Jesus is right.
Jesus is right.
Yeah, Jesus is right.
Amen.
When our girls were small, though, we used to sing this song and just ran across it here the last couple of weeks and reminisced a little bit. We tried to sing through it. Now, Pam and I have never tried to sing this as duet. Me and the girls tried to sing it. But you pray for us, and we pray that it bless you. We hope that the message of it will speak to your heart, and after we've sung this chorus once, I'm sure everybody can join right in and sing, so please do. Before I met Jesus, my life was empty and vain. Nothing ahead could I see but sorrow.
Right for whatever's wrong in your life.
Y'all singing love.
Y'all singing love.
Yeah, it's just too good.
Chris, they asked us to sing that McCamey song.
Okay, all right.
Bless the Lord.
Come on, so watch the net.
Can I share something about that song?
Yes, ma'am.
We lost our little dog, this May 8th that we had, and she's 16 years old. I was praying because she was so close to Kenneth that, you know, his heart would go out rhythm because he meant to be there and everything. I could just, when we were out there, and I was just saying, Lord, please, don't let anything happen to Kenneth over this dog. And, but the peace of God, yeah, he came over me and I was having zero box stuff and fixed stuff, and it was hard. I'm still not. The Lord said, you do it. So he doesn't have to do it. So I got her all fixed up and everything, and I could just hear Chance singing that song. And it's like I could hear your warbles singing on my face. And I was doing that. I said, Lord, I'm going to do this on my face. And I was trying to get it done before they came back to move the burial back to our property. That's one thing, God, that he gives us music. We know the things, and those words will come back to us at the time we need it the most. Thank y'all for singing that this morning. I can't just wait to hear that this morning. Love y'all.
I'd get my mind back on how we sung that song. Great job, Pam. But anyhow, it's good to be here this morning. And does anybody have anything for eternal Brother Steve?
One. We have one fossil law.
Fossil law?
Yeah, that one. Yeah. Yeah. I want that one now. Okay. Father, fill this place with your friend.
Lest we should come
to desolation.
Amos
walked on that.
We have to work on that.
We know what I'm talking about. Oh.
Okay. We got one more special we're going to do. We'll get that song. We'll get that one. We got one more special. Jackson, will y'all come up and I think y'all want to do I Fly Away? Okay. Well, we'll sing one more, then we'll turn over to Brother Stan.
I want to say, Holy Spirit, you're so welcome here today.
Amen. Amen. Amen.
Slow down.
Amen. Amen. You understand.
Y'all, we hadn't practiced this. Practiced. And Chris. But we sing this all the time. We used to sing it all the time at home. Where's Emily? There she is.
Bless the Lord.
Where's Jace asleep? I was hoping he would sing.
Everybody's having a hard time not joining in.
Yeah, and if y'all want to sing with us, that's fine. Because we're used to standing around the piano.
Here when the trumpet sounded. don't know why way, and you know, it called his own home, and can you imagine what, you know, what a day that would be? And he calls you home, and he says, saving a few steps, you're way out there.
All right. We can only imagine what that'll be. Amen. What a blessing to be here this morning, to be able to feel what we've felt. I agree with you, Brother Bobby. Our Sunday school class was just such a blessing. Such a blessing. And as we're studying about Jesus' Sermon on the Mount and what he said, what he taught, and how he fulfilled the law to the jot and the tittle. That just amazes me. It's good to see each one of you. Love each one of you, and glad that you're here today. Good to have all our visitors with us here today. And if you count yourself a visitor, just join in with us, and we'll go to meet for a little while. Good to have my brother-in-law Billy and sister-in-law Dolores here. We got to spend time with them yesterday at Decoration, and we ate and just had a good time and good fellowship. But and it's good to see each one of you that are here today. Good to see the Petersons back there. It's been a while since they've been able to come, and it's good to see them back with us today. I want to read a card before I forget to. This is from the Graves family, from the Patrick Graves family, and it says, the Lord works wonders through wonderful people like you. He said, thank you all for the gifts for the baby Maya. Y'all blessed her and us so much. We are very thankful for sweet people like y'all. We are so thankful to be a part of a loving church, the Graves. And we're so thankful the Lord brought that baby into the world safely and healthy. And this is her first Sunday at church, isn't it?
Amen.
We're praying it'll be many, many more. Amen. Amen. If you'll turn in your Bibles to the fourth chapter of St. John, and this morning early, the Lord sort of kind of changed what we thought we were going to preach on, that we were pretty comfortable with when we went to bed last night. And the Lord gave us a totally different place to read and a totally different thought. And sometimes we're sort of creatures of habit. Sometimes I want to stick with what I felt last night, but I feel like the Lord knows more about what you and I need than I do. So we're just going to follow His leadership and His guidance. But over in St. John's writing, fourth chapter, and I'm going to kind of begin reading at an odd place to start in this scripture, but in the 27th verse in the fourth chapter, it said, and upon this came his disciples and marveled that he talked with a woman, yet no man said, what seekest thou, or why talkest thou with her? Now, just to kind of bring us up to speed, this was leading up right after the time that Jesus had met the woman at the well, or she had met him, and he asked for water, and they had a conversation there, and he told her, if you would ask, I'd give thee living water, or you would never thirst again. She didn't quite understand that. She thought maybe he was offering her something that she'd not have to come back to that well and draw water again. That's not what he was talking about. He was talking about spiritual water, being born again. And y'all know the story. They had a conversation back and forth, and she perceived that he was a prophet because of what he knew about her, that only a prophet could know that. But she came to find out that he was much more than a prophet, didn't she? So that kind of leads us, and you come to this time where she had told him that when the Messiah cometh, he'll tell us all things. And Jesus had pointed out to her that the one that was talking to her was that Messiah that she was looking for. And so it says in the 27th verse, and upon this came his disciples and marveled that he talked with the woman, yet no man said, what seekest thou, or why talkest with her? And the woman then left her water pot and went her way into the city, and saith to the men, come see a man which told me all things that ever I did. Is not this the Christ? She asked a question. Then they went out of the city and came unto him. In the meantime, while his disciples prayed him, saying, Master, eat. But he said unto them, I have meat to eat that ye know not of. Therefore said the disciples one to another, hath any man brought him aught to eat? Jesus saith unto them, my meat is to do the will of him that sent me, and to finish his work. Say not ye, there are yet 4 months, and then cometh harvest. Behold, I say unto you, lift up your eyes and look on the fields, for they are white already to harvest. And he that reapeth receiveth wages, and gathereth fruit unto eternal life, that both he that soweth and he that reapeth may rejoice together. And herein is that saying true, one soweth and another reapeth. I sent you to reap that wherein ye bestowed no labor, other men labored, and ye are entered into their labors. And many of the Samaritans of that city believed on him for the saying of the woman, which testified, he told me all things, told me all that ever I did. So when the Samaritans were coming to him, they besought him that he would tarry with them, and he abode there 2 days. Many more believed because of his word, and said unto the woman, now we believe, not because of thy saying, for we have heard him ourselves, and know that this is indeed the Christ, the Savior of the world. And I'd like to take you back to the 38th verse where Jesus here is talking to his disciples, and he says to them, I sent you to reap that wherein you bestowed no labor. And for just for a few minutes, I'd like to preach on a simple thought that God gave me, reaping where I have not sown, reaping where I have not sown, or maybe gathering where I didn't labor. And but as we try to look at this and see what God is showing to his disciples and showing to these Samaritans that that came here, we see here that they had come and they had seen Jesus sitting here talking to a Samaritan woman at the well. Now, I can only imagine in reading into this, there were some things that struck the disciples here about this situation they found Jesus in. One thing that I think may have kind of bothered them is that he was there alone at the well with a strange woman. I think that may have kind of concerned the disciples. Another thing that may have bothered them was that they probably knew something about this woman. They probably knew the lifestyle that she lived. I don't know that for a fact, but the Bible said that come to find out, she had 5 husbands. I don't know whether she just went through them like that, or whether they died or what happened. And we find out that the one that she's with now at this present time is not her husband. So that was kind of looked down upon in that time. This same time it's pretty accepted, but back then it was looked down upon when you was maybe shacked up with somebody. And so the disciples here begin to be amazed and astonished that Jesus is even talking to this woman, and that he's communing with her and talking with her. And so, but they don't say anything to their better knowledge. They probably figure, well, he's Jesus. He knows what he's doing. He knows what's happening here. And so we look a little further, and it said that when they came, they were coming to bring him some lunch or get him something to eat. It must have been about lunchtime. And in the meantime, the woman, she left the scene, and she left her water pot there. Now, I believe that she had found something at that well that she had never found before.
Amen.
And her water pot began to be something so less important than what she had ever thought it to be.
Yeah.
And I also thought about this. Remember why Jesus was there. He said, I must needs go through Samaria. And the Bible said that as he journeyed, he got weary, he got tired, and he became thirsty. Yes, he thirsted for natural water just like you and I do today. God in the flesh actually thirsted for natural water. And so he sat down at the well. The first question he asked was he asked the woman to give him a drink of water. And she was amazed, first of all, that him being a Jew and her being a Samaritan, that he would even think about having a conversation with her. But you know, it wasn't just that Jesus was thirsty and tired. Jesus knew exactly what was going to take place.
Amen.
He knew exactly what was going to take place here. Amen. And I believe that not only did she leave her water pot because she had found something far greater to live for. Her treasures became far higher than that water pot.
Amen.
But that this man who had offered her this living water, she remembered that he thirsted. And she probably thought, here, drink all the water from this well you want to drink. The Bible said after that that she went and she began to publish to her people what had happened to her. This goes back to, I believe with all my heart, when a change comes in our life, when we get saved, I believe that we can't help but want to see other folks find what we found. Amen.
Yes.
We'll find a fishing hole sometime that produces a lot of fish, and sometimes the carnal will come out in us, and we won't be very vocal about where it's at, will we?
Amen.
Brother Michael. But this is something that she wanted to share. She told him, said, when the Messiah comes, she told Jesus face to face, said, when Messiah cometh, he'll tell us all things. Little did she know that she was speaking to God himself.
Right.
Face to face. Thank you, Brother Bobby. I'm about to jump to death.
Yes.
So the Bible teaches us that she came and she began to publish, come see a man that told me all things that ever I did. Is not this the Christ?
Yes.
When they asked Jesus if he was hungry, and they tried to get him to eat, and he said, my need is to do the will of my Father who is sick in me. They didn't understand. Something went down the wrong way. They didn't understand that when he saw this woman believe to the saving of her soul, that fed him more than anything they could bring to him. Jesus not only knew that she got the goods, but the Bible said that while he was talking to his disciples there, that these Samaritans that she went back and reported to what had happened to her, they were on their way to come see him for themselves. I'd heard people preach about Jesus. I'd heard folks testify about him. But when I came to know him as my Savior, when I had a personal relationship with him, the half had not been told.
Amen.
The Bible said that they came and they told Jesus, they said, we came to see because of what the woman said what they told, what she told us. But now we believe, because of thy words, we believe. But during this time, Jesus had taught his disciples, and he had told them that you're going to reap where you hadn't sowed. And I begin to think about the things that we have benefited from, the things that we have reaped, that I had no part in putting labor into.
Yes.
Moses and the prophets got discouraged at times because they thought, the prophets thought what they were prophesying, but the people were not hearing. Moses got discouraged at times because the people were getting mad at him and getting impatient with him. But little did they know that they were setting the foundation that in 2024, you and I could benefit
yes.
from what they did.
Right.
I'm talking about reaping where we hadn't sowed. Reaping where we hadn't sowed. When my parents passed away, they left a last will and testament. And in that, they distributed what little bit they had between me and my two sisters. And I thought about it as I looked at that will, I thought about reaping where I hadn't sown. My daddy had to work a lot harder than I've ever had to work to have what he had. And I thought about, now everything that they've worked for, they're leaving to us. And I begin to think about reaping where I put forth no labor. A lot of times we'll get proud, and if we're not careful, and we'll look around and maybe look at what God's blessed us with, and we'll say, boy, I've worked hard for all this. But at some time or another, you've reaped where you hadn't sown.
Come on, Prince.
You've reaped where you hadn't sown. Somebody did something that helped you get something that you didn't earn. Amen?
Right.
Amen. So as we begin to look, and Jesus was adamant here about getting the disciples to understand that you're reaping where you hadn't sowed. Amen. But when you get the goods, amen, and when you get that, you want to get out and you want to begin to sow where others can reap maybe what you've sowed. I begin to think about Brother Michael, about pastors in my past and Sunday school teachers, even going back to my card class and Sunday school people that would get up and sing specials. Oh, sainted ladies and men that would stand and testify of the glory of God and what he had done for them. And I thought about reaping the benefits of their labors. Have you ever done that?
Yeah.
Amen?
Yeah, sure, yeah.
Reaping where you hadn't sowed. Amen. I begin to look around and think about what all God has given to each and every one of us that was not earned by us. Amen. It's sad we live in a society today where there's a lot of folks that still believe you earned your salvation. That it's by works. Jesus taught us it's not by works lest any man should boast, but it's a free gift from God. Amen. Reaping where we hadn't sowed. Our carnal man will tell us that everything that we have in this life, that we've earned it. that we got it through hard work. We got it through this or that. But I'm going to tell you, I couldn't work if it wasn't for the grace
Amen.
Of God.
Amen.
Every gift comes from Him.
That's right.
It all comes from Him. Boy, I get excited when I begin to look at this scripture. Jesus, I just wonder if the disciples ever understood what Jesus was talking about when he was refusing their food. They thought that somebody had gone and brought him something to eat in the meantime because he wasn't hungry. But he was being filled by what was happening. And I believe today, each time that somebody accepts the Lord and the free pardon of sin, I believe that it just fills the Lord. It does. I believe the angels in heaven rejoice every time that a soul is saved. Amen. I know it strengthens the church. When we see somebody get born again, it makes us want to shout. Or it ought to.
Amen.
Amen. But he saw these things and we begin to look and to see that these were reaping. The Samaritan woman reaped where she had not sowed. She had not done anything for the gift that was given to her there at the well. I'm reaping today where I have not sowed. I think about a lot of times when I come over here to the church house and I see people who have gotten up early to come over here to get things ready. When I hear Brother Chris on the piano, when I walk in the door, I'm thinking, boy, I'm reaping where I hadn't sowed. You ever think about that? I'm reaping where I hadn't sowed. I'm gaining some things that I put no labor into.
Yes, come on.
Now, this is not giving us an excuse to not labor for the Lord. I believe that once we become born again, I believe that we'll have a desire to labor for God. I believe we'll have a desire to get out in the fields and to do the work of God. See, these disciples were used to, just like you and I are, we plant this time of the year, and then we plan around the end of July, middle of August, to reap what we've planted, don't we?
Yes.
If it goes by what it has for the last, since time began, you plant this time of year and you reap right before the fall. It's always been that way. You don't plant now and reap tomorrow. And the disciples had this mindset, but Jesus said, behold, lift up your eyes, for the fields are white unto harvest. Right now is the harvest time. In one place he said, pray to the Lord of the harvest that he had sent forth laborers. Harvest is plenteous, but the laborers are few. Boy, don't that give you some go ye to make you want to get out and work for the Lord? Amen. Amen. Reaping where we hadn't sowed. When a Sunday school teacher prepares their lesson for the Sunday school class, and while the rest of us can go to bed kind of early and relax, that teacher is begging and asking God to give him something to teach, and then begging and asking God that he doesn't get out of the book when he's teaching. When the song leader gets up and sings a song that you and I are able to reap the benefits of, amen? It wasn't me going through the song books and asking God to show me what to have us to do. but it was the song leader asking God to prepare him or her for what song we need to sing. Have you ever heard, have you ever seen a song leader that wasn't in favor with God?
Come on.
Comes time for an altar call. Have you seen some of the songs they pick out? I mean, just kill a service graveyard. Hey. I'm being serious.
Yes, you are. It's true.
But we reap where we hadn't sowed. And I'm hoping that through our life, through my life, that some things that I'm trying to sow, I'm hoping that one day somebody will reap that. Amen? That somebody will be able to reap what they hadn't sowed. I thought about this woman and what the disciples must have thought about her. She probably didn't have a very high rating amongst the people around there. I mean, let's be honest, we know if we have somebody in our community and they've got a reputation, we talk about it. It ain't hid. Percy is what it is.
Come on, preacher. Come on.
When the woman that was accused of adultery and they were getting ready to stone her to death, and they reminded Jesus, the men that were fixing the stone, reminded Jesus what the law said, as if he didn't know. Said, Moses, the law said, to stone, what do you say? Bible said he got down there and wrote something on the ground in the sand, in the dirt. And they couldn't figure out what he was doing. Is he avoiding our question? Bible said that he stood up and said, ye that are without sin, let him cast the first stone. And the Bible said, from the greatest of them down to the least, they dropped their rocks and they walked off. They walked off. You see today, we're reaping at Liberty Hill Church the benefits of what our forefathers did so long ago. We're reaping that. Well, preacher, it's what we're doing today is what we're reaping. No, we're reaping the benefits of what somebody else sacrificed.
Amen.
If you live in America today and you're able to go come over here and worship, and go home and eat and take a nap if you want to, or go drive to the lake if you want to, those are not things you and I earned.
Amen.
Those are not things you and I earned. These military cemeteries are full of the lives of those that paid the ultimate cost.
Amen.
That we might have the freedoms right here that we enjoy.
Right.
I'm afraid today we take for granted that something's owed to us or this is just the way things are. We need to realize that we're a very, very young country compared to the rest of the world. We're the new kid on the block.
That's right.
And we could be destroyed just like that. Just like that. But you and I are reaping the benefits of what somebody else has done. And I'm going to bring it down to this in closing. What Jesus did on Calvary's cross people are still today reaping the benefits of that. Every second that the Lord allows this world to exist, every second that he's extending mercy and grace, if he looked down in Noah's day and got kind of depressed about what he had created. Can you imagine what he thinks today? He said back then that their minds and all were continually on evil, and it repented him that he had even created them. Boy, I'm glad of a remnant today, ain't you?
Yes.
I'm glad of a remnant. Amen. It's God's people that holds this thing together today. Amen. It's God's people, amen, and praying people is the reason we have mercy on us today. There's still mamas and daddies that want to see their kids saved. There's still grandparents wanting to see their grandchildren saved. Amen. And I believe today that that's why the Lord is extending. Somebody said, preacher, you're all wrong. There's a bunch of things that's got to happen.
No.
Bunch of things that's got to happen.
Good Lord.
If the Bible is correct, before he can come back. Would he owe anybody an apology if he called and did this thing today?
Nope.
He wouldn't. He wouldn't. Prophecy has been fulfilled and it's being fulfilled before our very eyes today. Please understand that we're reaping where we hadn't sown. But it's our job to go out and to sow. You remember when Jesus told about talents that were spread out by a traveling man to his servants? He said, the one he gave 10, the one he gave 5, and the one he gave 1. The one that received 10, the one that received 5 invested theirs. And they had gain from it. The Bible said the one that had 1 went and took his and hid it. Wrapped it up in a, probably something like this, and hid it. When the traveling man came back home to find out what had been accomplished while he was gone, the one that had gained 10, I believe he doubled what he had. One that had 5, the same way. When he came to the one that had 1, where's your talent? Oh, I hid it in the earth. For I knew that thou were a hard man, sowing or reaping where you hadn't sowed. Do you know a lot of people look at the Lord that way today? I don't owe him nothing. That's what they think. Well, we owe him everything. Everything we have. We couldn't praise him enough today. Amen. To give him the just glory that he deserves. Amen. Our righteousness, my righteousness, the Bible says, is filthy rags. Even when I'm at my best, I'll still be rags. But you know what Jesus wants? He wants the best of the filthy rags. He wants the best of it. Come get us a song. Amen. If everybody will stand.
664.
Reaping where you hadn't sowed today. Gathering because of the benefits of somebody else, the work that somebody else did. Go ahead and say. Prophets of old, those that we read about in the Old Testament.
25 years that Jesus walked on this earth in the flesh. Those prophets, those men of old, yearned to see that day. They didn't live long enough to see it. But they died looking for it. Don't you worry about those that died back over in the Old Testament. Don't you worry about them that were looking for the coming of the Lord. They're just as safe today as you and I are. She told me this. At the time she was telling me, I thought, big deal. She said, I can remember, son, in the 1930s, wondering if we were going to have a meal that afternoon. She said, we were up town and said, we didn't have any livestock. Everything was rationed. Mama said, have you ever ate turnip greens with just hot water poured on? No grease, no nothing to flavor them with? She said, we're glad to get it. Kept us alive. Powdered meal. I can't see having to deal with that today. I opened my refrigerator and it looks like a restaurant. Somebody else has had to work on it. Amen. And I never want to take for granted. I never want to take for granted that this just came through. That it just came through. Somebody paid the price. And because of what Jesus did on Calvary's cross, I can get up in the morning and I can look at my wife. And I can say, thank you, Lord.
Bless you.
I can talk to my son on the phone or he'll come visit. And the joy that we get from that, from communing with one another, finding out what he's been doing, he finds out what we've been doing. That joy and peace comes because of a price that was paid a long time ago. A long time ago. He said, you go in there and you start sowing with them. Shame on me that after I got saved, I sat on the sidelines. Shame on me. Oh, I let them church people do the sowing. Boy, Lord, remind me, you'll make time now, won't you? Yes, I will, Lord. Thank you.
pray, if you need to get saved, if you just need to be appreciative of what God's given you, maybe you hadn't thought that much about what you've got, why don't you come? Come on.
God bless. Take my life.